Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and we'll be playing some great video game music, so have a listen and hope you enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins, and if you recall, the last episode I was playing music from the Blackwell series. As I said, Blackwell series is a series of point-and-click adventure games where you play the role of Rosa Angela Blackwell and her sidekick, although he doesn't quite appreciate the term, or maybe partner more, Joey Malone, who of course is a ghost and died several decades ago, so he's still wearing the whole fedora and business attire and looks kind of like a bit of a Chicago mobster, but also like a suave individual. And so their entire mission is to go around and find other ghosts like Joey, who basically need their help passing on. And in the end, they discover a lot of mysteries going on. Last show, I played music from the first three games of the Blackwell series, and I said there were two more left. Well, in this case, I think I'll play music from the fourth game, which is Blackwell Deception. And yes, there is deception going on in this game in more than one form. So, I think, first of all, I'll play the Rosa's theme. It's kind of like the theme of the main character, and it plays when it's in her apartment. Now, as I said, in pretty much all the games, you are able to walk around the city investigating, but you can always return to your apartment. It's kind of funny, because in one of the games, I kept checking through my save files and found I always tended to save when I was in the apartment. It was like going back to your own apartment was like taking a break and calming down. And in some games, looking at the computer and researching stuff on Oogle. Yes. So it's kind of funny that the apartment just tends to have a nice calm and feeling and ambience. And maybe music like this is one of the reasons why. So here's Rosa's theme from Blackwell Deception. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. So, a very nice chill-out track going on there. As I said, that's Rose's theme from Blackwell Deception. So, Blackwell Deception, I think, is the first game that really starts to up the stakes a lot more. I mean, don't get me wrong. The first game was an introduction. The second game was a bit of a flashback. The third game made the most of the previous two games and really seemed to tie things together really well. And involved a lot of actually interesting exploration of a bit of New York history as well, as such as editors and such. So that was kind of interesting. You know, it's kind of interesting to do a bit of a game and learn a bit about the history of the city it's set in as a result. But the Blackwell Deception really kind of raised the stakes and had a lot of stuff going. It starts actually with a very, very amusing boat incident, and which kind of goes south very, very quickly. And the fun thing about it also leads to one of my favorite lines in the game, which I'm not going to spoil, but it sort of has a bit of New York humor to it. And then after that, she gets a call about an old reporter friend she used to work with. She goes to the guy's apartment to try to get some details on a story he says he needs help with. And what follows is definitely something that really hooks you in for the rest of the game. Suffice it to say, for the next bit, you're still looking for ghosts, you're still trying to follow some leads, and yes, there is quite a bit of finding ghosts and help them to pass on. And of course, as usual, the ghosts are usually pretty damn oblivious to what's going on and usually fixated on what the thing they were doing at the time of their death, so you usually have to assist them in going through their thoughts and things at the time of their death and continue on. One of the kind of interesting things, I think, about the Blackwell is because you tend to meet so many ghosts, I mean, at first you just kind of try to shrug it off and just help them pass on and not think too much about it, or at least maybe that's just me. But it's kind of hard to, you know, when someone is literally at the end of their life and the only thing left for them to do is pass on, it does end up sort of giving them perspective. I mean, they realize their death and they have to look back on their lives and realize what did it all amount to? What were their goals? What about the decisions they made? Did it matter? One or two of them are slightly heartbreaking in that, you know, they suddenly, upon making a few revelations, they realize decisions that they've got to make, changes that they've got to do in their lives, and suddenly realizing that it's kind of too late for that now. But for the most part, they do kind of accept it. I mean, they have to, but the thing is, it's just when you look back, you realize, you know, it wasn't all lost and there were good things going on and maybe there were good decisions, but maybe there were some dumb ones too. But in the end, you know, they lived the life that they did and it's just hard. I mean, it's hard to sum everything up. And I think that's one of the nice things about the game is that, you know, it tends to give perspective on so many different lives, so many different people and the way they lived their life and, you know, gives you something to think about, and I suppose in the way we all live our own lives, there's always stuff we can do, but at the same time, there's a lot of stuff going on, and sometimes it's silly things, but sometimes it's important things, and I'll leave it at that. I will say that one story in the game really did enjoy it. It's kind of about this college girl who at first was very studious and kept studying and that was all she thought about. But then she decided that, no, wait a second, you know, like I'm wasting my life. I've got to go out and party and stuff. And actually the reason why she makes this change, of course, is one of the themes in the game. And she wants to hit the nightclub floor. And indeed, as Joey ends up talking with her spirit, there's a very interesting dynamic there because she's sort of completely hooked into the whole, she's basically still her ghost self out on the dance floor, wanting to dance to the music and keeping going. And I think it actually asks an interesting question in my view, you know, like the difference between just studying hard, keeping the head down, and the difference between going out there and exploring life. And I don't know, but I think that what she discovers is, you know, I think she realizes that, you know, just getting too much partying for the sake of it, I don't know. I think it's an interesting point of view, since especially college students always have to deal with that dilemma, and many of us, the difference between work and pleasure. But the key thing, what I'm leading up to in all this talking is to say that she has a song that goes with it, and it's a great song in my opinion. It's called Jamie's Song. Have a listen and hope you enjoy. And that was Jamie's Song from Blackwell Deception. Okay, by the way, I just want to say one other thing. It's kind of one of the locations in the game is the High Line, which is basically this elevated railway track that actually exists in New York that was subsequently turned into a park. Now, I never actually visited that park. I heard about it last time I was in New York, but I never actually visited to it. But I suddenly remembered that when I was playing the game Grand Theft Auto 4, that I had actually driven on that track. If you recall, Grand Theft Auto 4 is very much based off of a caricature of New York City and Manhattan and its surrounding boroughs. And when I was playing the game, I noticed that at one part, you seem to get to this kind of narrow highway which you could drive across and then ramp off the end onto a motorway and stuff. And I was kind of wondering about it. And now I realize it was that very, very track that has since been turned into the High Line. It's kind of funny, I've mentioned it before, but Grand Theft Auto has really turned into kind of a time capsule of New York City at that time and American society, so it's kind of fun to go back and play it, because, of course, if the game had been developed these days, you wouldn't have been driving across an abandoned railway track, you'd be driving past the park as it exists now, but it's kind of a bit of fun. Okay, on to the next game, and while we're talking about open world games, how about we talk... I forgot to mention. And that is the music of Blackwell Deception. Blackwell Deception was, of course, developed by Wajidai Games, and the music was composed by Thomas Regan. Now, back to talking about open world games, and it's time to talk about another game called Get Out of Hell. This is an extension, the most recent extension, of the Saints Row series. Now, if you're familiar, I've talked about Saints Row before. It's a set of open world games that don't always take themselves too seriously, but then again, that's kind of their charm. So, I'm going to just hit you with the main theme of Saints Row Get Out of Hell. Have a listen and hope you enjoy it. And that is the main menu of Saints Row Get Out of Hell. It was probably composed by Malcolm Kirby Jr. And it is Saints Row Get Out of Hell was by Volition and High Voltage Software. So the most recent one in the series before this one was Saints Row 4, which was crazy and kooky and sci-fi. Saints Row, as I said, started by being about gangsters and being on the street and vying for territory and all, you know, gangster thug life and all this sort of stuff. And by Saints Row 4, you're the president of the United States, the planet gets blown up by aliens, and you have to fight aliens in a virtual reality simulation. Okay. Then in this game, you get sucked into hell. Okay, again. So, basically you're playing as two characters in your gang or crew or whatever, who are called Kingsley and Gat. And Gat, of course, is the Gat out of hell, sort of puts the Gat into the Gat out of hell. And yes, of course, we all know about the Meatloaf song. And essentially, they are basically trying to rescue the boss, who's been forced to marry Jezebel, who is the daughter of Satan. Yes, so as you can see, it's very urban, gritty, real life, you know, gangs in the streets. I actually remember reading a comment once and saying, you know, like, one thing I liked about Saints Row is how realistic some of the gang stuff seemed. And I was this was before Saints Row 2 got released, so you could see where it was coming from. And this is where the series is at now. Now, it's actually kind of a fun. You get a kind of a new city, even though it still seems has all the things that annoyed me about the previous cities. But let's not get too caught up in the negative stuff. And you can go around it. You manage to get weapons based on all the seven deadly sins, which is kind of cool, very thematic. You have a lot of fun activities. You get a pair of angel wings and can fly around the place. And you basically have to meet up with other people condemned to hell and kind of like form a few alliances and do a lot of quests. Now, one of the things about the game is that it doesn't really have quite a strong main mission. It's kind of like a start, one or two things in the middle, and then an end. But one of the cutscenes in the middle goes full-on musical. As I said, when you start into hell, you're given the objective is cause as much chaos as possible, and this will make Satan notice you, and then you'll be able to challenge him one-on-one. And that's kind of the game. But when you cause enough chaos to cause this cutscene, but not enough to actually get to the final thing, suddenly this thing starts, and listen to this. What you're about to hear is the cutscene that plays. It covers basically Jezebel having issue with her father forcing her to marry someone that she doesn't really want to marry, and also about some of the saints, you know, Gas and Kinsey, trying to figure out whether to stay the course with what they're currently doing, and whether it'll end up with them rescuing the boss. But I think it's not just what they do, it's the way they do it. So have a listen to When I Find Love from Saints Row Get Out of Hell. Take it away.
Satan didn't have much time to react to the war Gat was waging, because at home, Jezebel was waging a war of her own.
I don't love them!
You think I care?
If you started acting like a father, you would.
I'm looking after your best interest.
You don't care about my happiness! This is about you! If you just stop telling...
You will marry that saint, and I won't hear another word!
I won't do it!
You think because you're my daughter, you think that you're above it all, but schemes are currently in motion. Your choice, be a wife or be a thrall. They say the devil's in the details, and I have some more for you. Celestial light doesn't shine a ray here. Happy endings are through. You belong to me. I'm giving you away. Your blood will not save you. My hand will be cruel if you disobey. You belong to me.
Never. I'm sick of perdition, so tired of tradition. But now my time has come to go break away, to live for today, to stand out beneath the sun. I know there has to be some way for me to be free. Just living a life that's far from the strife and torturous pain. Someplace that's far from here and not awash with fear. Ice cream, how do I feel about cats? And is Nightblade my new favorite show? But until that time, I'm stuck in this hell, a relentless tempest of rage. Surrounded by guards, betrothed by my father, trapped inside this gilded cage.
Not working, Kinsey.
You don't know that, Johnny.
Tearing this place apart, but Satan doesn't even seem to...
We didn't come this far to fail.
You think I'm giving up?
We have one less place to go.
What if it doesn't work?
The bus is counting on us.
You think I don't know? Do I burn down a city that's baptized in fire? How do I kill off an army that's dead?
time. Slipping away now, and the best plan we've got is just put one inside Satan's head. If roles were reversed, God, I know they'd save me, but all my solutions involve murder sprees.
You have to stay the course and kill without remorse.
Yeah, that sounds fun, but what has that done? We're still where we stand.
The day isn't over yet. Our sun's not begun to set. No matter how small, the wings of a fly can create hurricanes. Johnny Gat. Hope, I feel hope. For the first time I've ever in my life, Gat is the name that cuts through.
And that was When I Find Love. It is from the game Saints Row Get Out of Hell, which is developed by Volition and High Voltage Software. The song was made by, and hold on, this is going to be a long one. It was music by Larry E.E. Gates too, as well as Steve Jarrus, who did the music and the lyrics, and I think wrote the original writers. He does a lot of the writing in the Saints Row series. Also music by Ariel Gross. And arrangement and orchestration produced by Austin Wintry, who I've talked on the show before, has making the music for a lot of other video games, and most recently, I believe, done Assassin's Creed Syndicate. The music was performed by the Brussels Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Dirk Broos, and it was recorded at Galaxy Studios Belgium, engineered by Patrick Lemons, and music mixed by Steve Kempster, with music copyist being Steve Juliana. And we have got vocal performances by the original actual cast of Saints Row. Indeed, Jezebel was actually partially chosen as for her voice actor based on her singing proposals. And vocal performances by Travis Willingham, Kate Reindeers, Daniel Day Kim, and Natalie Lander. So that has got to be one of the quite amazing... That has got to be quite an amazing musical track. And as you can see, it's got a lot of inspiration from Disney tunes and everything. Okay, so I think it's about time to wrap up this show. I think I'm going to leave you with a fun little track. It's a track that I kind of like. It's basically Lava Reef Zone Act 1. It is from Sonic & Knuckles and the classic Sega Mega Drive game. And I've just always liked the sound of it. So, have a listen and hope you enjoy. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Remember, you can listen to our episodes directly online on bitnotefm.com or stream and catch up with your episodes on whatever your favorite podcasting service is. Thank you for listening, and all the best.